I need to start out by admitting that I probably know less about football than most of you here today. But I learned a lot last week. An article entitled Football Christianity was most helpful to me because it defined football in terms I could understand. Draft choice means choosing the pews closest to the door. The quarterback sneak is what happens when people quietly exit before the end of the service. A fumble is dropping the hymnal, singing the wrong stanza at the wrong time, or standing while others are seated. Stay in the pocket refers to money that was intended to go into the collection plate, but it didn't quite get there. Sudden death is what happens when I preach longer than usual. And an end run is what's executed if you get out of church without shaking my hand. Today, which everyone knows, is Super Bowl Sunday. And so I want to preach about football because we are already thinking about it. Football is the most watched of all American sports. That's a fact. And therefore, I think Jesus, were he preaching today, would talk about it as well. Jesus went where the people were. If they were sitting on the hillside watching the birds, he joined them, saying, "Consider those ravens." Or if they were all already looking out over a beautiful field of lilies, he would tell people, "Consider the lilies." To Jesus, everything on earth, be it a farmer who was out planting seeds, or brothers who were locked in sibling rivalry, or a woman who misplaced a coin, everything was essentially about the kingdom of God. Everything was. And I doubt that were Jesus here today, football would have been an exception. So, what does football have to do with the kingdom of God? For starters, one of the most effective ways to bring about the kingdom is through teamwork. Football is about teamwork. The church is about teamwork. And when that teamwork is at its best, be it on a playing field or here at the Wayne Community Church, it's about people coming together to commit themselves to a cause that is greater than they are. I once heard that the word team actually stands for T, together, E, everyone, A, accomplishes, and M, more. Have you heard that? Team. Together, everyone accomplishes more. I love that. And one of the givens is that teamwork, by its very nature, requires sacrifice. Once I remember reading that the night before a game, Tom Brady had a fever of 103 degrees. It was a personal sacrifice, I am sure, to show up on the field the next day. But he played anyway. You who work for this church know about what it means to sacrifice. If in a given week all the hours put into this church were tallied, I think you would be amazed by the time, by the effort people sacrifice for Jesus Christ. Too many to name. Well, the same stuff that allows Tom Brady to do what he does is what enables you to do what you do. And you do that because you have a passion for that which is greater than you yourself. And that passion of ours in the church is to live for the sake of Jesus Christ. So the first point of this sermon is that the key to good football teams and to good churches is to make sure that the team's purpose assumes greater importance than the team's individuals. In football language, get out of yourselves and into the game. And we in the church are called to do the same. If a church isn't careful, it is so easy to lose focus. What we're about is not primarily ourselves. It's about helping to bring in the wider kingdom. Last year, for 2018, we paid 60% of our apportionments after celebrating a miraculous Make-A-Change Day, collecting more than $1,800. That, as you heard, was a huge leap forward from what we've given before. And now, 2019, a new year, beckons us to pay 100%. And we can do it. We can give the full quota of what's being asked because together we can unite as a team and serve those way beyond our local congregation. I've heard it said many times, yes, but we have so much need right here locally. To which I would always respond, yes, and everywhere in the world is local to God. And we give for God's sake. Secondly, the key to being a good church member is not to let yourself get too old to care. Let's think about old Tom Brady. He doesn't talk about retiring, he talks about refiring. His intention is always, every single game, to play the best football he's ever played in his life. Am I right? And the same can be true of each one of us as Christian disciples. We commit to excellence in the daily living out of our faith. We don't ever retire from that role. We refire. Yes, strong beginnings are great, but the key, the purpose, the goal, the hope is to have a strong finish. At the AFC Championship game, the Patriots gave an excellent demonstration of what we ourselves are going for. A strong finish requires that the people involved be captured by a vision of victory. And then in the life of the faith, it's the same thing. It's continually experiencing the living Christ within us and being empowered by not our victories, but Christ's. A third point to remember is that the Patriots' opposition, the Rams team, is not the enemy. That team is an obstacle around which the Patriots need to work so as to reach their goal. When I watch Bill Belichick, and I have to say I am consumed by watching him at times, I always note the fact that he isn't often shouting, he isn't nervously pacing, and he isn't even spitting. Subsequently, one of the things that I've also heard about him as a coach is the respect with which he talks to his players about the opposing teams. He's not about generating heat. His mission is to study the opposition and then to shed light, i.e., given the obstacles here, how do we score points? How does this translate? Quoting Lewis Grizzard, has anybody heard of Lewis Grizzard before? No, I hadn't either. But I liked what he said. The game of life is a lot like football. You have to tackle your problems, block your fears, and score points when you get the opportunity. Tying into last week's sermon on how to get yourself off your hands, the enemy is self-pity. And once we can get self-pity past us, then we're able to focus, to put our energy into moving forward and to accomplishing goals. Well, the fourth and final point is that football would not be the game that it is without rules. Imagine what would happen if a team decided that the game would be played without goalposts or without markings on the field because they were deemed too restrictive. To us, that sounds like a ludicrous idea, but sad to say, that's the way a lot of people choose to live their lives. Several years ago, I went to see the movie Sideways because it had been nominated as Best Picture for the Academy Awards. And if the truth be told, I used to try to see every Best Picture nominee before Oscar night. I don't do that anymore. But at any rate, Sideways features a man named Jack who decides that he's going to have a week-long final fling before his marriage on Saturday. Despite his best friend's pleading, Jack decides to uproot the goalposts and to eradicate all the markings on the field while morally he does whatever he feels like doing. The movie ends at the wedding, and as you leave the theater, you are left with this awful and hideous sense of violation and emptiness. For in life, as in football, violating the rules results in penalties. As I got into the car and drove away from the theater, I heard the words of Jesus say, "I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. In my limitation is my glory." One of Dick's favorite country western songs is "Dropkick Me, Jesus." Yes, I admit it. It's funny, but it's also serious. And these are the words. "Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. End over end, neither left nor right, straight on through those righteous uprights. Drop kick me, Jesus, through the goalposts of life. Make me, oh, make me, Lord, more than I am. Make me a piece in your master game plan." He wanted the choir to sing that music, but he gave the choir director great relief when she said, "I couldn't find it." So, consider the Patriots. Get out of yourself and into the game. Don't ever retire, but keep refiring. Remember that the opposition is not the enemy, it is an obstacle. And thirdly, honor. Always honor life's goalposts. Each day, our goal stays the same, to usher in the kingdom of God. But to help us, we can hold fast to our faith in each other, our faith in Jesus Christ, and our faith in the power of prayer. Make me, oh, make me, Lord, more than I am. Make me a piece in your master game plan. Amen.